This is the Detroit Sports Podcast Network.
Let's tackle the post-spring questions Michigan football must answer as it heads into the first year under Sharon Moore. We'll do that next on the season finale of Michigan Podcast.
But there's going to be one team that's going to play solely as a team. No man is more important than the team. No coach is more important than the team. The team, the team, the team.
Looks deep for Anthony Clark. Waits for it. Tim Clark.
Hey, they said you can't beat Ohio State. Now what?
Brady gets terrific. Turns it. Get it. Touchdown. Night again. Schultz just before Gazelle got him. And a leaping interception by Woodson.
Harbaugh back to throw over the middle. Caught by Colazar at the 5 on his feet. Touchdown, Michigan. On its way.
It's good.
He's 5'7", 179 pounds, a junior at Michigan. But Jamie Morris packs a wallop, and he delivers for Bo Schembechler.
And here's your first play. Pressure coming. Second. It is Glenn Steele, number 81, who fought his way through the traffic.
Option. And Robinson calls his own number, and he's going to score. Oh, an easy touchdown for Ron Robinson and Michigan.
Winner. We're going to win the championship again because we're going to play as a team. And when we play as a team and the old season is over, you and I know it's going to be Michigan again. Michigan.
Blue, and welcome to the season finale of Michigan Podcast. I am Steve Dace. Now, around here, season finales are like a month. So we'll see you again in June. Nevertheless, we have some unfinished business here where this season is concerned. First and foremost, as we look at what I think are the top five questions Michigan football now must tackle between now and the kickoff to the season, August 31st against Fresno State, the questions that still remain post spring. Let's go to number five. Who are the class of 23 and 24 guys that are already or that are ready to become quality depth this fall? Zach Shaw at 24/7 Sports notes about the 2018 class, and that seemed, as he said, when Michigan kind of stopped recruiting off of the all-star list from the networks and started evaluating players on their own instead. There were 20 members of that class. It was at the time Jim Harbaugh's lowest rated class. I think it still is, by the way, at number 22 yet. And there were no top 100 recruits yet. 12 players in that class have played in the NFL and or been drafted. And so the last couple of classes have not been rated that low, but they have not been where Michigan fans expected to be with the success of the program the last few years as well. So who are those names? Is it a Breshon Ismail, for example, who we saw flash in the spring game? There are several of those kinds of players, but they're going to be counted on now to be that next layer of depth that we have seen Michigan lose between both the transfer portal and the NFL draft. So that's a big question to be answered between now and August 31st. Number two on the list, or number four as we count up, where does the leadership come from on offense? I think you can go ahead and put this in cement. Donovan Edwards is going to be a captain on this team. But when you look at the rest of the offense, a lot of new faces there. And so where does that leadership come from beyond Donovan Edwards? Now, I think he's got an excellent case to be captain. You look at what's happened to him in the course of his career, waiting his turn behind one of the greats at Michigan ever in Blake Corum. The way that he has starred in those moments, like against Ohio State and Washington in the national championship game. The disappointments that he's had. I think a lot of people, beginning with himself, thought last year was going to be much more prolific for him than it turned out to be. He really didn't get going until the Penn State game well into November of last year. And then his own personal issues, which he's talked about as well, spiritually, mental health. He's going to be a hella captain for the University of Michigan, but he can't do it alone on that side of the football. More leadership is needed to step up on the offensive side of the ball. Number three, are there enough bodies at wide receiver? Now, we already know the answer to this question. Offensive coordinator Kirk Campbell told us right after the spring game, the answer is no. So then where do some new bodies come from? As at the time we're recording this, they've offered a young man from Youngstown State out of the transfer portal. There are reports online that Amorion Walker, who is considered to be one of the top emerging players in the program before he bolted for Ole Miss before the spring, that he's leaving Ole Miss and coming back. So crazy times, man. I mean, I don't know what we call that. You know, is it a boomerang? Is it a rebound? I don't, yeah, okay. But that would be a nice addition. Now, he was switched to corner. Last spring was not a great moment for him at corner. He was still a pretty prized wide receiver recruit. We have more of an immediate need there, although there is a need at corner too, because we've lost DJ Waller to Kentucky, who loves to pilfer the third string of our players for some odd reason. But Amorion Walker will be in that mix. Maybe this young man from Youngstown State. I mean, I think the three receivers are going to line up, given the kind of offense we play. Between Fred Moore, Shamaj Morgan, and the young man out of Chicago who had that huge touchdown reception, Tyler Morris, in the Rose Bowl last year. I think those three, given the way we play, are just fine. We don't emphasize the position in our offense. All three of those guys are explosive and athletic in different ways, but you can't count on all three of those guys just being your only live bodies. And we got just only two freshmen coming in who aren't going to be in until the fall. There needs to be more there. And Michigan has even said this out loud, openly. I mean, it seems weird now, we're just the era we're in. So Amorion Walker left. He's going to transfer back. Michigan coaches are openly saying, oh, yeah, we're going to recruit that position harder in the transfer portal. We're not good enough at that yet. The times, they are a-changing, man. That's for sure. The stuff of message board posts is now just the stuff the coaches just say out loud. All right, number two. On our list of the top five questions, is there a championship caliber quarterback on campus? Now, I worded this question this way very specifically, and here's why. Because I came away from the spring game more impressed than I expected to be. And what I mean by that is the amount of depth that I saw, the amount of quality players that I saw, the amount of Big Ten ready bodies that I saw. When you lose the amount of talent we have, 19 guys off of this team are going to be in NFL training camps between the 13 guys drafted and the six that have signed unrestricted or UDFA deals. We had that in 2016. We had 19 guys off of that team. By the way, we went 10-3, lost three games with a team in 2016 that had 19 guys that were in NFL training camps that next summer, but I digress. That's doesn't matter now. We won the Natty. Keep telling myself that. Anyway, we've got 19 guys leaving. The last time we had that in 2016, the next year, Michigan just ruined a championship level defense because we didn't have a quarterback. We played rotisserie quarterback all year long, and really none of them were ready to take the reins of the program. I'm concerned that may happen this year. I think we will have a championship team on defense. I think we'll have a championship team on the offensive line. I think we'll have a championship running game again. I think the special teams were just given a major boost with the Arkansas State transfer. That's this year's James Turner, so I'm not really worried about that anymore. This really comes down to quarterback. Now, again, like I said with wide receiver, this is not a quarterback-driven system. If it were, J.J. McCarthy might have been the number one pick in the draft. Instead, he went 10th and was the fourth quarterback taken because everybody was like, it came out of an offense that doesn't emphasize your position. But it can't be a zero either. In 2017, it was a zero. Now, a lot of you are going to go into the comments section here and say, hey, Steve, all we need is a Cade McNamara guy. We won it with him in 21. And that is true. But can you say right now we have a Cade McNamara guy? Davis Warren, who I thought was the most impressive quarterback in the spring, has never had anything meaningful happen to him in a game. Alex Orji's never thrown a meaningful pass in a game, even though he's been the best athlete pound for pound in the program now 2 years running. Jack Tuttle has played meaningful snaps at other places, just didn't play them well. So you got to make some throws. I mean, Cade McNamara made some throws against Nebraska on the road, for example. Made a big throw to Cornelius Johnson against Ohio State, for example. You got to be somewhat of a threat there. It can't be a zero. Doesn't mean you got to be J.J. McCarthy, but you can't be a zero. And otherwise, we risk ruining what I think, again, is a championship defense. So that's why I worded that question that way. If I thought that we were likely looking at a rebuilding year, and we might be next year, but not this year, I mean, there's another 12 or 13 guys on this year's team that might be picked or in NFL draft train or NFL training camps next year. We might have, it is entirely possible next year, we will have the number one corner taken in Will Johnson. We'll have the number one defensive lineman taken in Kenneth Grant. We could have the top two defensive tackles taken, Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant. I think we could have the number one running back taken in Donovan Edwards. I think depending on what happens with his knee injury, we could have the number one safety taken in Rod Moore. I mean, I wouldn't say it's even nuts given his body type. If he has a great year, that Miles Hinton couldn't be the number one offensive tackle taken. I think Jayshon Barnum could be the number one linebacker taken in next year's draft. So we may not have the depth we had last year, but the top end talent on this year's team is actually going to be, from a draft perspective, better. And I haven't even mentioned yet Colston Loveland, who's going to be the number one tight end taken. So when you've got that level of top level talent, you need a quarterback to take advantage of the situation. If we didn't have that, I'd say let's just put Alex Orji in there and let him grow with the team. But we do have that. So we cannot have a quarterback that holds the team back, which is why the solution may be what's number one on my list. Could we have a Stanley Jackson, Joe Germain situation? Alex Orji in the role of Stanley Jackson and either Jack Tuttle or Davis Warren in the role of a Joe Germain. Nobody here that we're mentioning was some highly touted prospect recruit who will be highly coveted in the transfer portal and threaten to leave if they have to split time. The portal's closing as of the time we're recording this anyway. So why not? Differing skill sets. The one we don't know that Orji can throw competitively in a game. We do know that he is a phenomenal runner. We do know that. So why not? Nobody comes in with a five-star chip on their shoulder. We made Cade McNamara share a lot of time with J.J. McCarthy. Maybe we could be looking at that as a solution again this fall. Let's find out what the guy who was a fan of those Stanley Jackson and Joey Germain teams thinks of that option. And Michigan spring football and where things stand heading into the summer as a whole. Next, we'll be joined by Mark Rogers. Stay tuned. One last time this season, it is time for the 10-Minute War. Let's bring on our good friend, Mark Rogers. Make sure you check out his channel on YouTube, The Voice of College Football, especially now. This is the time of year more than any other. Win totals and stuff are going to come out. You're going to get a lot of great advanced information from stringers and correspondents covering teams all over the country. Some very profitable information. So this is the ideal time when a lot of college football media is asleep across the country. Mark is grinding, and his team over there at The Voice of College Football is doing the same. So good to see you, my friend. How are you?
Good to see you, Steve. Hopefully you're refreshed and enjoying your national championship offseason.
Oh, this party ain't close to ending, brother. I can promise you that. Yes. But nevertheless, they will play football again this year, even though I would be okay if they didn't. I'm good. Like, I love the sport. Michigan has said we'll take the year off. I'd be good. Watch everybody else. I'd still watch all the games, but I'm that levels of satiated right now. I'm good. But nevertheless, they're going to play another year. And we were just going over some of the key questions that I think need to be answered this offseason based on what I saw in the spring. In particular, I want to get your thoughts on my number one question, because I used a specific circumstance that you would know well. You and I are of the same era. You also grew up rooting for those teams. So it would not just be something, you know, knowledgeable to you, but personal. All right, the idea of a Stanley Jackson, Joe Germain tandem at quarterback, where you have Alex Orji with kind of the Stanley Jackson skill set and either Davis Warren or Jack Tuttle in the Joe Germain role. Nobody here was some five-star prospect with agents and, you know, chips on the shoulder. No one's got some, you know, promise in the recruiting process to jump on Instagram and you know, lose their minds over. It's very likely whoever is the starter this year is probably just holding the position for a year for somebody like Jaden Davis, or a maximum of a couple of years anyway. So given where this team is at, how strong I think they are almost everywhere else, except for this one position that's the most important in the sport, I just don't want to see a 2017 kind of year where a championship defense is wasted with a zero at a quarterback. So what do you think about that kind of an option for Michigan this fall?
I think you just want to bring up the name that your fans want to hear, and that's the name John Cooper. Yeah, you're bringing back bad memories to the point where in the Sugar Bowl after the 1997 season, they were shuttling quarterbacks back and forth. Now, I know the great Tom Landry did that for about a half a season, but he figured things out and then won the Super Bowl.
First of all, you got to love an Ohio State fan. Guys, this sucks so bad. We were playing in one of the major bowl games in the country, and I couldn't believe what I saw. I love that. Your frame of reference to how this sucked was what you watched in the Sugar Bowl. Okay, that's great. That's as good as it gets right there. But go ahead and finish your point. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, that obviously was just a few weeks after we watched Charles Woodson single-handedly knock us out of a possible national championship run. So shuttling in quarterbacks, and the quarterbacks acknowledged after the game, both the quarterbacks, Jermaine and Jackson, that you mentioned, that they had no idea that was the plan during the week, that was the plan going into the game, that they were just, oh, suddenly, okay, well, we've noticed after a series or two, we're just going back and forth. This was not the plan or communicated to them. So John Cooper complicated things. And especially there, you wanted to go with Joe Germain over Stanley Jackson because you had the weapons. You didn't need the quarterback to be a weapon. And so Cooper botched that up for two seasons, 1996 and 1997. And you remember those well.
The 1996 team, I think, finished number two in the country and won the Rose Bowl, Mark.
They did. When Joe Germain was finally given the keys at the final drive of the Rose Bowl to finish out the game and lead it with a passing attack where there are weapons to be utilized and the quarterback doesn't need to run around like a fool. Now, to the Michigan situation in 2024, I find this intriguing that first off, you've got Alex Orji. I don't know what he has done, because we just get to see the spring game and hear bits and pieces of intel, what he has done to enamor this coaching staff. He was the 50th rated quarterback in his recruiting class. He was the 126th rated player in the state of Texas, according to 247 Sports, and he's thrown one pass in college. So I'm not saying that the talent evaluation, far from me to question the talent evaluation recently at Michigan, that he's prepared, but it just seems as though Michigan's in this place where, Jaden Davis aside, because he's the future, that they are void of any completely legitimate, sure options here. And I think the determination, based on what we saw at the spring game, what they could be doing in practice could be much different. Davis Warren could be so much better than Orji. It appears as though Orji's the guy, though, so he must be so much better in practice. But what we saw in the spring game leads me to believe that this decision, Steve, is less about who the best player is, because they're all fairly even when you throw in the skill sets. And it's more about, what does Michigan want to be? Who do they want to be on offense? Do they want to be an Alex Orji kind of offense, Stanley Jackson, or do they want to be a Davis Warren, Jack Tuttle type of offense? And if 2021, 22, 23 is any indication, even though McNamara or J.J. McCarthy provided obviously a different dynamic when Cade McNamara won a Big Ten championship, it's Michigan to be Michigan football would opt for one of those other players, meaning Tuttle or Warren, to be the quarterback.
That's an excellent point. And if you stop and think about it, you look at some of the toughest games you play this year. I watched half of the spring games in our league last year. Now I was not able to watch any of the Pac-12 imports, so I've not seen USC, UCLA, Washington, or Oregon. I did read about them, but I watched 9 of the overall 18, but all 9 are from the Continental Big Ten, I guess we'll call it. Okay. And here's what I saw of the teams that I watched that are on our schedule, with one exception, Ohio State. I don't believe any of those teams can block us. I don't. And I think we can block all of those teams. And given the way that we play, that's very vital to our style of play. What I read about Oregon and what I know they have coming back, I'm a huge Dylan Gabriel guy, and what I saw of your team, I would put you and Oregon in their own tier. But I would put Michigan in its own tier after that. I think the distance between third and fourth is pretty large. If Penn State's fourth, Mark, I got to tell you, man, they looked noticeably smaller than Michigan and Ohio State to me. Noticeably. In fact, the quarterback's one of the most physically imposing players on their team that I saw, Drew Aller. After that, I'm not so sure Nebraska wasn't the most physically impressive looking team that I saw. I didn't see Iowa. I didn't see Wisconsin. But I don't see too many teams that are going to be able to block what we're going to have on the line of scrimmage. And I don't see too many teams that we won't be able to block. So it really comes down to those three games. You guys, Oregon or Texas, are the three games on our schedule that we're going to need to do more than just block people to win those games. Okay. So if you look at all three of those teams, they all play some form of up-tempo offense. So based on what you're saying, you kind of jarred me a little bit, because now I'm thinking, if the three teams we're not sure we can just straight up block to victory or disrupt to victory, so we need to do more. All three of those teams are up-tempo teams. Even if Orgy's great, could we possibly be as good or better at up-tempo football than those teams? No. We would be better off playing another style of football against those teams and forcing them to play that. You see what I'm saying? We would be much better off playing half-court basketball here than going up and down the court against Ohio State and up and down the court against Oregon and up and down the court, especially in September, against Texas. Who knows what the weather's like in Columbus, Ohio, Thanksgiving weekend, or Ann Arbor, Michigan, early November. But certainly in early September, you don't want to go up and down the court against a Steve Sarkisian style of offense. Let's make them play in the mosh pit, and maybe that does then say that's why Alex Orgy is the guy.
The only slight caveat to that, Steve, could be, is there a Hassan Haskins, Blake Corum back to be that grinder, that bell cow, to be that guy? Donovan Edwards, we know that he's going to show up for one game and be remarkable and be the best back in college football one time. Mm-hmm. It seems to be one game per season. Well, of course, in 2022, I'll give him more credit than that. He was remarkable down the stretch once Corum got hurt against Ohio State, Purdue, and in the playoff game against TCU. But he's just, my goodness, the performance from him last year was just so mind-boggling. So I don't know if they have that battering ram combination skilled runner on a consistent basis.
I think it'll be Kalel Mullings. I do. And I like what I see out of him quite a lot. Thought he should have played more last year, frankly, at times when Donovan was struggling. Donovan's pretty rocked up, too. He clearly has decided to add some more bulk to carry more of that load. You've watched the spring game, almost all of his carries except one, he made a point of keeping it between the tackles to demonstrate that. But yeah, I get what you're saying. I just think after listening to you here, you may have changed my mind from my own premise. It might be better off just to say, hey, you know, this is our style of football, and we want to drag you down into the mosh pit with us rather than go up the field and play, turn this into 7-on-7 or a video game, which probably doesn't, go to our strengths.
And Steve, another note on Donovan Edwards, if you are correct about that, and I watched the spring game as well, but I just didn't notice the strength and conditioning difference. If he turns into that guy, much like Travion Henderson, so Travion Henderson, tremendous running back, skill set, mm-hmm. speed, all of that. Different guy. When I saw him run last year, when he had dedicated himself to coming back from an injury, and he was lowering his shoulder into it, he was a different back last year. So if Donovan Edwards can turn that corner, much like Travion Henderson did, wow, look out, because when he's been right, he's been right. And if he adds that physicality to his game in that offense, again, look out. I've got one more interesting note here that I came across that just kind of hit me, with J.J. McCarthy going top five in the draft and then Michigan trying to find who they are on offense, and much of that predicated by this quarterback decision. Here is a team that just produced a top five quarterback in the NFL draft that was number 122 in the nation in pass attempts per game.
Right.
That's unheard of.
Right.
That's never happened.
Right. So what you're telling me is I'm kvetching about this too much, is what you're telling me. You understand that? That's really what you're telling me, is I'm kvetching about this too much.
Well, let's say they control their schedule nearly as well as they have the last 3 years. Let's not hold them to that standard, because they don't have to be held to that standard. You know, Harbaugh said, beat Michigan State, beat Ohio State, win the Big Ten, win the Natty. Those are the goals in order. But now we're looking at, be 10-2, or be a really impressive 9-3, lose to Texas by a last second field goal, and maybe you get into the playoff. And that's more the goal now. So what I'm saying is, maybe they're going to be more of a passing team this year, despite losing the top five pick in the draft, because of the loss of Blake Corum as well, and not having necessarily that proven back, but they also don't have the proven quarterback. So it's a strange dynamic that they have to work through between those two losses.
Final thing I want to ask you about is, I watched y'all's spring game in depth as well. And I mean, Jack Sawyer looks like the Incredible Hulk, man. Okay, I mean, this is, you know, last year at this time, there was talk that in the following draft, Ohio State was going to have 8 top 100 draft picks, and they had 1. And that's because all those guys came back, okay? And so they absolutely look like an NFL farm team at like 9 positions that I looked at on every position group, really, but 2. The problem that I'd be concerned about if I were a Buckeye is, it just so happens to be the 2 position groups that your arch rival has built their entire program around being better at than you. Okay? I mean, your quarterbacks on any obvious passing situation, even in a thud practice, had no time. They were done. I mean, it was just, you know, the other team's quarterback must go down and must go down hard. I know Julian Sain was the number 3 rated quarterback. Maybe I'm being unfair because he had no pass pro at all. But like, to me, he's like way behind what I saw out of Dominic Raiola, like way behind him. Now, is he just way behind him because he had no time? Literally 5-step drop, plant your foot, get down. I mean, the offensive line play did not look markedly better than the last couple of years to me. And I don't see a quarterback that I'm like, oh, that's a dramatic upgrade of Kyle McCord. If to me, at best, you know, Will Howard is a more mobile Kyle McCord, like that style of quarterback, but he might fit this year's team better because now he can turn 3rd and 6 into a first down. And so I get that where that would be a positive. I get that. Okay. But I saw a Senior Bowl All-Star team everywhere except the 2 positions at quarterback and offensive line that held Ohio State back last year. But what are your thoughts?
Well, people are handing this team the Big Ten championship, and if not, they're handing it to Oregon, and I think that's a complete mistake. Although, like you, your tier structure for this conference at the top is the same as mine, and even to the detail that Michigan is further separated from the teams below them, Penn State and USC, than they are from Oregon and Ohio State. So I think it could be and most likely will be a 3-way battle for this conference. Yeah, I'm not sold on Will Howard. I was impressed with him 2 years ago because I was watching Kansas State play the game that he came in for the first time and led them to a victory, a comeback win against Oklahoma State, in likes of what a Kansas State quarterback supposed to look like. He looks amazing. But in terms of what an Ohio State quarterback supposed to look like, he doesn't look amazing. He's a decent player. He's going to win the job because they're going to figure out that with this team, they've got to play the safest bet at quarterback. So I'd be shocked if he doesn't win the job. But my goodness, there are some breakdowns of his season from last year in certain games that are not pretty, both from a statistical standpoint and a tape standpoint. And so Ohio State, yeah. And then when
you know what's really concerning about that, Mark, is last year Kansas State brought back its entire offensive line. Kansas State brought back one of the leaders in offensive line starts last year. So he brought back excellent protection by Kansas State standards, you know, obviously, and as defending Big 12 champions. And so that would concern me if I was a Bucknut, is last year this guy played behind an offensive line that knew him and yet I don't think Ohio State has that kind of an offensive line this year, from what I saw.
No, they don't. It's a bad combination, and they may need Will Howard to run more than they are planning on it. They are thinking of him as, this is the guy, as you just noted, that is going to be a pocket passer, look downfield, and they are not going to run him in design runs like he did at Kansas State. However, when the play breaks down, when there's a hole in the pocket, boom, he can pick up, as you mentioned, the 3rd and 6. But when it gets tight against Michigan and other teams, if they can't run it in a traditional way, he may become JT Barrett three or four times this year, or at least twice this year. They may have to really rely on him to be an additional weapon to create some kind of offense against teams that can, that can't be blocked, at least by their offensive line, because I know that there were few options in the transfer portal, especially during the spring session. It's about picking up program players mostly, and so they haven't been able to help themselves.
Yeah, that's also a good point. Ohio State might be the one team in our league whose schedule got easier with the influx of the new teams. They got, maybe given their talent level, maybe the most beneficial draw. Now, I say that there are still, like, you know, three legitimate top 15, top 10 teams on the, but that's basically your entire schedule. So yeah, probably 9 games out of the year. You don't have to run him one time on any form of a design run. But those, that game at Oregon, that game at Penn State, that game at home against Michigan, he might have to go full JT Barrett in those games. As a Michigan fan, I hope he doesn't do that, because we never beat JT Barrett. So thank you, Mark. Good to see you as always, man. We'll see you later this summer, okay?
Appreciate it, Steve. Thank you.
You bet. This week's Twitter poll results. We've asked you, now that you've seen the spring game, do you believe we have a quarterback currently on the roster who can win a Big Ten championship? 57% of you are concerned the answer is no, as am I. 43% of you think the answer is yes. But what bothers me about those who are going to say yes is most of it's going to be not because of the merits of the players we have, but because of your belief that it doesn't really take much of a quarterback at Michigan because of what you saw Cade McNamara accomplish in 2021. So while I understand that sentiment, and that's exactly where we go for our feedback of the week with Don Bonza, who's at Bonds. I like that. If Cade McNamara can do it, one of these guys can. It's a team game. I get that. I also think you're looking at Ohio State team this year that's absolutely loaded. Well, Steve, they were in 21 too when we beat them. That's true. Now we're bringing in a quarterback in Dylan Gabriel, who might be in the College Football Hall of Fame. Looking at his numbers, absolute Heisman Trophy candidate, deeper league. We're playing Texas in the non-conference. Yeah, we played Washington that year, but they turned out to be a dramatic disappointment, got the coach fired. So I think the schedule's a lot tougher. But right now, if you told me that any of these guys was at least Cade McNamara, I'd love it. I'm not entirely even sold on that yet. I don't think Alex Orji is capable of being a Cade McNamara quarterback. It's just not who he is. He has a particular skill set, and you want to be able to take advantage of that, but you don't want a bunch of mistakes made by him at the same time that therefore make his package of what he presents from a talent standpoint a point of diminishing return. So these are all things they're going to be wrestled with over the course of the summer between now and the start of camp at the end of July. Well, thank you for joining us during another very successful season of Michigan Podcast. Certainly the most special season we've ever had. When you look at everything we had a chance to witness as Michigan fans this year, historic season for our football program. Maybe, I think anyway, the greatest Michigan football team of all time. And when you consider the legacy of this program, that is saying a bunch. It's been an honor and a pleasure to share all of this with all of you all going back to when this season kicked off back in June. We look forward to seeing you again for another season next June right here on Michigan Podcast. Until then, I'm Steve Dace. Go Blue.